This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CMB Ealing. Live on Cliff Central.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Siyabonga Beyile, a.k.a. The Threaded Man. I'm live on Cliff Central, 2 p.m. right now on The Threaded Exchange. And I'm back. And I'm back with a vengeance. Last week, I was a bit out of it. I was sick. I was exhausted. I was going through the most. But I missed all of you guys. And of course, we're going to be bringing you a show only about conversations that are cultured, brave, and progressive. Today, I've got Major League that are coming in. We're going to be talking about the business of doing events. Is there money in events? How do you make money from events? How do you carry events? We'll be talking to them. Also, I've got a brand new co-host, Ernest Mojela. Ernest, what's up?
Yo, yo, yo. What's up?
How are you doing, my man?
I'm very good. Thanks.
Good, 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 good. What's up, brother? Are you in?
Yo.
Come closer. What's wrong?
What's good, New York?
I'm good. Why you call me New York?
Isn't this the cities you like to be in?
It's my favorite city in the world. It's been a while, man.
I know. How's everything? How's it been?
It's good, man. You know how business goes. You get the challenges, but you rebuild.
Yeah.
New levels, new devils. The journey towards being a billionaire is not an easy one, but it's a good one. It's a fun one. Yeah.
Necessary one. It's exciting, busy.
So my brother, talk to me. We shot Threaded Year last year.
Yeah.
It was a very exciting time. It was everywhere. Come in, brother, come in. Why you guys are twins? I thought you'd be come around that side.
Taking his time.
So we shot Threaded Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a fun experience. It was very brilliant.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things when you do a magazine cover, you always hope the people you shoot will go up, not down. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
And with you guys, you just went up. You know, I went to Major League Gardens. It was huge. And most of the time, I look at you guys and I always think about how the things that you guys are doing, it's very different in entertainment. There's not a lot of artists who build events that actually become a brand.
Yeah.
You know, it's always cool to be like, yeah, on Sunday, we're going to Icon. We all know there's all those popular parties. But to turn an actual event into a cultural phenomenon and an actual brand and a business, I see Major League Gardens as becoming a Coachella.
Yeah, bro.
You know, and
yeah, working on it.
Yeah. So I actually want to break it down with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start your own event? Because there's a lot of young people listening right now who are black, who are like, yo, I want to do a party, I want to do this event. And we see a lot of events come and go in Joburg, right? Mm. And the debate is always in business, you need funding to do an event. Or how do you do an event? Do you recognize that? Is it about funding? Do you start it with your own cash? What business acumen can you give when to start your own event? What is the first thing you should look out for?
I think with starting an event, you actually need to understand what you want to do and how you want your brand represented out there. So basically understand what are you trying to do. With us, we thought of a property that's around what we like and what represents us best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we came with the Major League Gardens. That's why it's called Major League Gardens.
Yeah.
You know? The name came from thinking, yo, we thought for a long time like what to call it. Then we just thought of the Madison Square Garden. Then we said, okay,
Major League
cool.
Garden.
Yeah. And then Our slogan is the social festival. So social festival came in because we used to love socials in high school.
Yeah.
Mm, so we like,
does it
have to be all about music? No, let's make it a social festival where people come together.
Interact,
music is
yeah.
in social, so yeah. And that's how we brought it together. So it's called the Magic Garden Social Festival. And what we try and do every year is to just build on what represents us, you know, the type of vibe that is at the party. You know, most artists like to stay at the party and don't like to take bookings outside the city, you know, whichever city we have it in.
Because
of the vibe and everything.
I have to be there.
so that's what we look at doing, you know. It's not really about us, but it's actually about building the culture and feeding the culture and what represents us, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of, you know, another thing about events, I always sometimes talk about how people do things prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
What also I think keeps, you know, Major League Garden such a strong event is because of the relationships you guys have built over the years with all these different artists.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Black Coffee is one of the headliners. I mean, I was driving in Bryanston and I remember I saw that picture we shot for 3D. Yeah, thanks for that, by the way. It looks dope.
Yeah, thank you.
But
thank
I saw you. Like, I'm like, Black Coffee, snap. At the peak of his career, he's even willing to come and play at an event like Major League. And we know Black Coffee doesn't just play anywhere. So how important is it to build relationships? You know, some business people will be like, oh, let me just start the business and then build the relationships. Mm. But you guys are first well-known DJs. So over the years, you've been able to build all these relationships with these artists. And then when you start your own platform, you're able to cultivate on those relationships. Can you give more insight into that?
Yeah, it's very important to build your own relationship, you know. Growing as an artist, also to be mentored, also to be guided, you know. Before even being a DJ, we were promoters, but very small promoters.
In high school,
we were promoters. So, going into the DJ industry, we always wanted to learn from people like Fresh, Black Coffee, Phonic, you know. Those are the guys that always used to guide us and help us learn and understand how the market works and understand who you talk to, who you don't talk to, you know. The growth of a brand, you know. Just strategizing strategies around DJ brands, you know. Yeah. And from there, we moved into creating relationships with DJs, book them. Sometimes they book us at their events, you know. It's a whole community thing because the industry is a community.
Yeah.
And once everyone knows each other and you scratch my back, I can scratch your back. It's easier to work. Yeah.
Yeah. Anga, Ernest, insights?
Yeah, I just... Going back to Major League Gardens and what Seo was saying about how many young kids are trying to throw events these days. I mean, what was the hardest thing for you guys when you guys first started Major League Gardens? Where you were like, damn, capital. Okay, we weren't capital. Expecting this.
Capital money. Capital. It's getting supplies, trust, you know.
Yeah,
of course you can't pay up front first time. Sorry, we're throwing events, it's a cash business. It's not like you can go in. And use credit to
but how do you get it right?
Like
I mean,
so it's a cash business. It's tit for tat. Here's this. Okay, I can deal with that. Even your services and your service providers are like that.
Yeah.
Can I ask something? I mean, as you're saying, it's like if you look at events like, you know, Major League Gardens, you look at what is this one? Ultra. It's lots of money on the table. There's lots of sponsors. There's a lot at stake. And I've seen you guys when you're at these events. It was actually quite surprised because before I went to Major League Gardens, I thought I'd see you guys chilling. You know, it's your event, but you're chilling. You were running around making sure sponsors are okay, making sure the performers are doing this. Davido's giving you a headache this side. Bang, bang, once you're at. How do you handle such a big event? How important is it to have the right team? How important is it to also be disciplined when dealing with that kind of money? Because it's a lot of money and that money is coming in and out. You're paying acts. This brand is, you know, how do you get the right discipline to handle that kind of money? Because I always feel us as young entrepreneurs, we always, when we see, like I even remember when I first received $1 million, I was like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? I went a bit crazy. So how do you guys look at the money and be like, you know what, this is a lot of money. We've made a profit, but... Let's make the next one better. What can we invest? Let's keep this aside. Like, how do you get that kind of discipline right?
Yeah, the discipline, I think it's just experience as well, you know. Of course, when you get your first big check, you're going to want to spend it and you want to do things with it, you know. I went through that phase where we wanted to do so many things with the money, but at the end of the day, the brand needs to keep growing. So you need to reinvest your money into the brand.
Mm.
And that's the only way I think we've been... still at the pinnacle of events in South Africa because we just keep the money generated in Major League Gardens. We keep pushing.
Yeah. What has, when you started Major League Gardens and you look at the first one you ever did, was there a moment where you felt like this thing wouldn't go as big as it did?
Nah.
Was there a moment of doubt? Because, I mean, over the last, and also over the last couple of years, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen at these events, you know. You know, some people might even hate and be like, oh, that was a horrible Major League Gardens. And I'm sure you've seen your first one when people were tweeting shit. And how do you get into a space where you trust yourself to the point where no matter how much people are criticizing you, you keep focusing on the goal? What motivates you guys to keep going and how do you block out the noise?
I'm a person who blocks out the noise anyway. Regarding things I do, I think I'm naturally like that. And at the rate Major League Gardens is growing, I want it to grow faster. Like my goal for Major League Gardens is much bigger than what it is right now. And I'm still chasing that goal. So I don't see anything. I don't see the critics on my left or my right. I just keep going for that goal.
You're the biggest critic. And yourself, are you the same?
Yeah, I think I'm the same, you know. I try my best not to look at what people are saying. You know, I focus on what really matters, and I don't think we're nearly there yet. I think we still have a long way to go. But we've done a lot, You know, sometimes you have to count your blessings. We've done a lot, but don't think we nearly done or even gotten started yet. I think we're just getting started. Just waking up.
Yeah.
So still, there's still a whole day you have to go through.
Yeah.
In the evening, we're just waking up.
Can you jump in?
Yeah. Could I ask a question? When it comes to hosting events, do you think you guys have an upper hand because you are DJs and you've seen the industry inside and out? Do you think it helps?
What I think helps is that I've been throwing events since a teenager and understand how things must work, relationships, how they must be built, okay, and how suppliers deal with artists and how suppliers deal with events promoters.
Okay.
So there's a lot of experience. I don't think it's really about us being in the industry, just the experience around it.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And then in terms of now relationship, you guys are brothers, you know, and when you, I mean, of course you're twins, so you're very extremely close. When it comes to like the roles you guys play in Major League Gardens, how did you find your rhythm to say, okay, Ubandile deals with this, Banele deals with that? Because I've seen that quite interestingly, the way you guys work is that the other always handles a specific segment of the business. Because I remember calling you, one of you, for tickets. You're like, Ish, Ubandile is handling that, man. I'm not involved. So how do you make sure that how did you find that rhythm of saying, hey, my brother, you're better at this than I am at this. I'm better at this than, you know what I'm saying? How did you guys find that?
Hey, it just came out naturally, I won't lie. Honestly speaking, it just came out naturally. And we just focus on the stuff that comes naturally to us.
Yeah.
So I'm a person who likes to deal with artists, production, you know, and marketing. He's the opposite. He deals with logistics, coordination, and all of that.
Yeah.
So it just became, it's just a natural thing, you know. We've been with each other for a very long time, as in twin brothers.
Your whole entire lives.
so we know each other's weakness and strengths.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the upcoming Major League Gardens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Why all white? Why do you keep playing with the mic? Like Greg is freaking out there, and Dory, they're like, this guy is ridding our mic. And you're spoiling the podcast.
All white is just a theme that our people like to have, you know. Our first one was last year, and the experience we had around All White was amazing, so we just decided to do it again this year. Our events always have a theme, you know, and this is our second time trying the same thing again. And I just think, like, All White's not about the party. I think it's just about, it's an add-on to what experience you already do, already have, let me say. So it's just an add-on. For me, it's not like an All White party that is at like a villa or something.
Yeah.
You know, all white parties get real dirty. People have fun.
You get a bit lit.
Yeah, so it's a bit different. It's not the same that you expect at a villa or a house party or like a beach party.
Yeah.
It's Major League Gardens, all white, so we just go all
white. You must see the dust of you dancing, everything.
Yeah. And what is it different about this one? I mean, I went to the one where it was at F&B Stadium, ne?
Mm-hmm.
I went to that Major League Gardens, and I think this is going to be the second one I'm going to be going to. So from that one versus, you know, the All White that's coming up now, what are the major differences? What can we be excited for?
I think you can be excited for the venue. The venue is awesome. We're in the amphitheater now, green grass. The setup.
What is the venue for this year?
Nasrec Expo Center.
Nasrec Expo Center.
So the venue is pretty dope. Green grass, and it's an amphitheater. So you're inside the
dome. It's like a small dome.
Not a dome, man. Not a dome. What is it called?
It's
an amphitheater.
It's like an arena type
setup. So it's amazing. We've been there once and people loved it, and now we're back there again. Also the fact that we're celebrating our own, like you're saying, we have Black Coffee, we have Casper, we have all these big acts that have been doing very well in the past year in 2017. So we're about to celebrate them, have fun, and about to take it to the top.
Amazing. And what's your favorite? You know, I know you guys have worked this event for a very long time, so you must each have something that you love about the event. So, as Banele, what is the thing that you love the most about Major League Gardens for you?
What I love the most about Major League Gardens is probably the vibe and the atmosphere.
I just love the production, you know. I always try to take it to the top, you know.
Yeah.
Firecrackers, screens, you know, play the screens. Try link the videos with the performances live, you know. Just try to create a different environment to what people usually do, you know?
Yeah. And do you guys, like, in terms of the spacing and Major League Gardens, do you guys actually design, like, the stage to how you see the setup?
Yeah.
Do you sometimes, would you be strolling, will you be strolling to Instagram, you see Drake, and you're like, fuck, that screen is dope, we want
sometimes
that.
Sometimes we can't afford it, so it's like, yeah. We try our best with the budget we have. Yeah, we try our best, but we do design our stages ourselves. We design the way it looks, because you have to design anyway the way it looks so you can present it to Jock, so they can sign it off.
Amazing. And then how far ahead do you plan Major League Gardens? Like, to pull up an event that big, is it a month before? Is it 2 months, 6 months before?
A year, six months, yeah.
Before. So, but by this time that this one happens, you're already planning the next
Yeah.
Okay, and then I've also heard, I mean, you guys have said it to me quite a couple of times, that Major League is actually like almost like a holding company that features your brand as DJs, that also features Major League Gardens.
An IP.
And you've also said Major League Gardens itself is also like an umbrella events company. And you have all these different other Major League Gardens that happen around the country.
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit more about that? So, and give me an idea of the calendar for the year for Major League Gardens as well.
The calendar for the year for Major League, unfortunately, we're not going to do Durban now. But we're doing September, and we're having another big one in December. But I don't want to spread the news about that one yet. The one in December.
Is it big? Which part of the country is the one in December?
Hush, hush,
you see.
Would you ever... man, another thing that I was thinking about the other day, especially when I saw the lineup, is that would you ever travel with Major League Gardens to another African continent
that's the goal.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
Yeah, we trying to
need the government to just sponsor us once.
What's wrong with this mic? Balisa, please come help us with this mic. It keeps dropping.
Tanzania, Kenya, Nigeria.
Tanzania, Kenya. Why are you looking like you've already planning that?
No, because those are the things that I work on.
Yeah.
I'm working on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the stuff I'm working on. And hopefully it will happen.
It definitely will.
It's going to happen.
Speak it into existence.
We need to take SA music to Africa, especially Africa, you know. Major League Gardens needs to be the biggest festival in Africa. So that's my goal. So yeah.
Amazing. It's going to work. Amazing. So guys, Major League Gardens is happening next week, Saturday. Guys, can I give away tickets on my show next week?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
cool. You guys never give me free shit, and I feel like we're friends.
You can.
You said you can, and then I'm going to call you. I'm busy.
Call me for yourself, not for the show.
Yeah, but likely now you guys do work with Pindi. Pindi likes me, so I'll speak with Pindi nicely to speak to you guys. Let's talk about music.
Uh-huh.
Where are you guys at with that? Because right now I feel like we know that you guys are DJ. We've heard your singles.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind now, when I see you guys, I see you as business people.
Yeah.
You know, within the entertainment industry who happen to DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of your DJing careers, like as much as you're out there DJing, getting these gigs, are you guys, do you see yourself as business people's first and sort of the music comes last? Or is music still a very important part of what you guys do as a collective?
It's very important, you know. I don't think we'd be the people we are without the music, you know. So right now we're working on the album. August, we're looking at dropping the album. So just look for the next single. Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys ever had an album? Let's start there.
No, we haven't.
So this is a debut album.
Yeah, why are you guys saying it like so, like we're dropping an album? People want the album.
And you know, people have been crying for years for an album.
Yeah.
But us, we just trying to do it different, you know. My debut album has to represent me to the fullest, you know. I want to take the sound to Africa. Not me, sorry, us. I want to take the sound to Africa. I want to do features that South African DJs have never done, a lot of African artists have never done. So that's what.
Are we looking at a similar sound like what's it said? You can do better. Is that kind of African rhythmic sound that you're playing with?
We're gonna mix it up. Different sounds. Yeah, we're just gonna mix it up like Kwaito, Afro beat, and a little bit of dance music.
Hip hop.
Hip hop.
Can I say something? When the album drops, can we do like a Watch the Throne DJ type of tour? And can I be the creative design director?
Of course, man.
I'm launching my clothing brand in August, so it's like
businessman. Let's do it. Let's go.
You're launching August.
Yeah.
What's the name?
It's called The Threaded Man. And I'm gonna probably launch it in Nigeria first. It's gonna be sick. I'm doing shoes, brands.
Why Nigeria first?
Because it's inspired by like African revolutionary leaders like Fela Kuti.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanna do it at the Fela Kuti Shrine.
Oh, that's
cool. And I want to get like Wizkid to be like involved and stuff. So it'd be cool if you guys like
That'll
be
dope.
Part of it, yeah.
I think that would be dope.
And we can align it with like the album. That'll be quite sick.
Okay. Mm.
With the album artwork and all that.
Yeah, you must let me wear some stuff.
I will. Have you guys ever thought of going to fashion? You're always talking about merch.
I like fashion, but it's just that I have looked at it, but I'm just trying to get my mind around it, get investors, because if I do it, I need to do it so properly, you know? I've got so many ideas, I just want to do it properly, you know?
Yeah.
And once I get into that space, I don't want to leave that space because I love clothes at the end of the day.
And if you had your own brand, like, what would you push? What would be the aesthetic, the vibe? Maybe bespoke suits, would it be streetwear? What would it be?
Yeah.
Everything, maybe.
The way I love streetwear, the way I love high end clothing.
I think it would be high end. I think it would be high end. Tell you the truth.
High end.
Yeah, high end is the way for me.
Back to you guys speaking about you guys only dropping your first album now. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important as a young artist not to just flood the industry with your music and just take time to understand your sound and then put out an album?
I think it's important to understand yourself and don't forget people are not stupid, so just dropping music, they will realize that's not you or you're faking it or you're a gimmick or whatever.
Yeah.
So I always think it's good to take your time. Release music, but just take your time. So you understand yourself, and that's when people understand you.
And like, how hands-on are you guys with the production? I know you guys are DJs, but is it you guys sit there and you actually make the beats from scratch yourselves, or you work with producers?
I work with producers. I'm not at that level where I feel like my beats are at that level, but my thoughts and ideas, I put them into practice, and I sit with producers to make sure that stuff happens. You know, I'm not that good with programs and stuff, you know.
Yeah, they are very common. It's like rocket science. Yeah.
It's not that really like rocket science. You just need to get used to it. You just need to sit there like how you used to sit in high school and learn your math.
Yeah, it took me a while, but yeah.
It's exactly like that. So it's time consuming and all of that. You just need to sit down and do it.
Mm.
But ideas and stuff, I think I'm great at that.
Mm.
I have so many ideas in my head, you know.
Yeah.
So many.
Are you guys looking at, you know, just keep learning the craft of production and actually maybe one day
a whole major
league album produced by a major league, exclusively by a major league.
That's what we're working on. But I think we all have to just like, you know where your strengths and weaknesses are and always put it into practice, you know. Everyone, I think a lot of people can produce, but only some people can really
have the ear for it.
Yeah, so you gotta take your time, like I'm saying, take your time, understand what you're doing, and then can finally put it out yourself.
Can I ask a question? I mean, with all the things that you guys are doing in music, in events, the merchandise you create, having the right team is very important. How have you guys chosen the right team? And have you had past where you've hired the wrong people? And when you hire the wrong people, how do you then make sure you don't hire the wrong people? I've seen so much talent. I mean, also you guys have seen so much talent in South Africa that sort of fade or fail, not because they're not talented or don't have the ethic, but it's because they don't have the right people surrounding them and the right team. How important is that to you guys, and how do you identify the right members to join your team?
You know, I don't think, I just deal with connection more than anything, and I don't just fire people. That's the other thing. I'd rather teach you and try grow you in the aspects you're not coping in, you know, on how you deal with things, you know. I'm not a person that fires people and has a bad relationship with people, you know. That's not our character. So what we usually do is try to teach you, guide you. But if you're not learning from there, just do your own thing, grow from there. We've both tried. So yeah.
Yeah.
So is that what happens? So you try first and then.
Yeah. Banele always tries.
Who's the good cop? Who's bad cop? Who's nicer?
Who's the one that has to be mean?
I think Banele is mean.
I think we both
play good cop, bad cop.
Yes.
Depending on the person and their personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the biggest fuck up that has ever happened where you thought, oh my goodness, brother, how are we going to get through this? What's been like one of the biggest fuck ups you guys have been through in your careers, and how have you? Because most of the time people think things are perfect. So you see Major League on Instagram, you're like, yo, nam funama Louis Vuittoniana, funama Tom Ford. But they don't know about, ish, there's been times where you were grafting and fuck ups happened. What has been the biggest, you know, you can guys share one experience each.
Yeah, there's a lot of mess ups. I lost my passport.
Where were you when you lost your passport?
I was in Dubai. I lost my passport. But I was lucky enough that I had another passport, so. But that was a big mess up. Cause
how do you have another passport? Don't you get a new passport?
So I was lucky that I could use my other passport.
Your American passport.
I thought, yo, I was going to stay in that country. I was messed up.
And you, brother, what has been your biggest fuck up?
Biggest? Trying to think.
You can't think what? Think Major League Gardens. Think maybe at a gig you played at.
There's a lot.
Give me anything.
I'm trying to give you a big one.
So while Banele thinks about that,
probably the biggest fuck up would be putting the wrong sponsor logo on a billboard and you have to take it down. Like,
oh. Shit. Wait. How do you... Doesn't that cost a lot of money? Because now the billboard is printed, it's up.
So you're like, shit. Damn. So that's a big fuck up.
Yeah.
That is big. Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, let me actually ask, in terms of Major League now, who are the key sponsors?
I'm still... Channel O. Who else? We got... Nixie Cosmetics. Incorporating makeup and stuff in our festival. Let's see how it goes. It's gonna be the first one. We also got an aviation company called Marvel Aviation.
So as well. Flying, I'm a private jet. Plus your coin.
Helicopters. Kenya Media, our family company.
Can I ask then, how do you then, because Magic Gardens is such a huge, you know, such a huge brand, how do you identify the right brands to work with you? Because I'm sure, I mean, there's people knocking on your door being like, yo, we want to be here, we want to sponsor. I mean, you should have lots of brands. So how do you guys be like, okay, Sifuno Bang Bang?
We have a 2020 vision for our event, and if you fit it and suit it, you'll be allowed in.
Okay.
Straight.
Dope. Yeah. Guys, in closing, apparently you guys are in a rush and you have to go. I can't keep you here for long. But what advice each and one of you can give to young kids that are listening who are like, yo, I want to be
like Major League.
Yeah, I want to build an event. I want to do something really dope. But I just don't know how I'm going to build that.
Advice. Okay. My best advice, if it's your passion and if you love doing it without the money being there, the best thing you can do is just do some research on the biggest festivals in the world. Put your element to it, you know. Think of what you want to be, what you like about being at a party yourself, you know. Think of those elements you enjoyed at being at a party. What made you be there? Was it your friends? Was it your girlfriend? Was it the music, you know? There's a lot of different elements that make you go to parties. So put that all together. Start your own small one, even if there's 50 people. Start one in your house.
Try your best
and create those elements in that environment in or in that event you've created.
Yeah,
that's too long though. Yo, that was too long.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's advice. It's from the heart.
I would just say, would you do it if you didn't have my if you weren't getting paid to do it? That's my thing. Like, would you do it if you ain't getting paid to do it? And I think you gotta stay ambitious. You gotta want it more than you want that girl next door.
Yeah.
You know. And also understand that this thing takes time. It's not gonna happen overnight. And never give up on what you really want. You know. Mm. And you have to speak it into existence. You know, speaking about it every day to your friends, to your mom, to your dad, to your dog. to yourself in the mirror. Yeah.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Don't
trust me.
Anything else to add?
Can I just jump back to one question about deciding who we work with?
Mm-hmm.
If you were young again, you guys were brothers and you were deciding to work with someone, do you think it's more important to work with someone that has the same skills as you or someone who can contribute differently?
I think it's important to work with someone who can contribute differently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. But guys, if you're listening and you're still live on the Threaded Exchange, we're gonna play a nice mix. But actually, these Threaded two boys, these guys made a mix for the show.
We produce, you know.
Yeah.
The Threaded Exchange is giving an opportunity to young talent. Guys, please WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Send us a question. Banel and Bandili are about to leave very, very soon. And I'm gonna play a mix called "By Friends." Guys, tell me a bit about the mix. What is it about?
It's just hard shit, bro. Today, hip hop, hard shit.
I think it's inspired about how we're gonna take the year on.
Yeah, hard. Enjoy.
Cool. Jeez. You're listening in on the Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Beyile. And of course, in studio, I've got the duo, the boys, friends.
Eish, friends. The twins.
Guys, how do you do that mix? That was a nice mix.
Bro. We just wanted a different vibe today. We wanted a trappy vibe because that's how we're going to attack 2018. You know what's up.
Say a trapper.
We are trapping. Selection.
Yeah. So basically, one of the key things, guys, I think I wanted to do in the last 20 minutes of the show is actually talk about the show itself, the Threaded Exchange, where it's going. I think for the last couple of months, people have, seen the show. The show has grown well. People are really getting into the show. But I've never actually spoken about where we are taking the show. Why do we do the things that we do?
I
think for me, the Threaded Exchange is such an important platform. It's not about me being a radio DJ and just interviewing people for the sake of interviewing people. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the platform is about just showcasing black kids that are doing dope things.
Yeah, and there's a lot of us doing dope shit, bro.
And having a platform where we can express ourselves, I don't think there's a lot of those platforms, especially when you look at radio and podcasting.
Yeah.
Young people don't have that platform to voice themselves out. And I think it's so important. That's why
we have the Threaded Exchange, bro.
The Threaded Exchange. Yeah. And more so, I think the last 3 months for us have been really like a trial period, trying out different elements. Bringing you guys in as co-hosts and seeing how's that been for you guys,
It's been good so far, man. We had some really dope conversations, actually. I think we do a really good job of picking the right people to interview on the show. We just want to learn what you do. Yo, you guys, you don't know. Sia's like engineer master here. He's mixing and pressing buttons the whole time. This radio thing is not easy, bro. It's not easy, but we're just learning every day. Yeah,
this is like my first show as well, so I'm just learning off you guys, and then
take it
but
from
I've been
there.
Listening in all the time.
Yeah,
let's talk now where we are taking the show. One of the things, guys, that I wanted to do is that I don't see Threaded Man as just like a radio show or a podcast. I see it as a movement, and I see it as a movement that needs to expand beyond what we are comfortable with. So I'm in fashion, you guys are in music. So it's easy to fall into the trap of basing the content around what we know and around what we find cool. One of the things that we've identified is that there's a lot of crazy, fun voices out there. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And wouldn't it be cool for us to bring in a new host, almost like bi-weekly or every single week, bring someone new, a young kid who wants to try radio. I don't care if they're in high school. I don't care if it's a granny who's 60, who has something interesting to say. Yeah. So as from today, guys, for the Threaded Exchange, every single week, we will aim to bring in a new voice. If you're listening to us and you're on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are, send us an email and tell us the most embarrassing thing about yourself. And the funniest story, will choose you to come and co-host with us and interview. And you can email us at thethreadexchange@gmail.com, but the exchange is X and then change, not like,
did you get that?
Not E X.
You must repeat.
Yeah, so it's threaded, so it's T R
the letter X
R E A D E D
X.
And then it's X. X marks the spot. Wakanda. Wakanda.
Yeah. Yeah. Wakanda.
And then C H A N.
Change.
Change. It's change. 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 Like change. Mali change, you know. So yeah, please email us. Tell us the most embarrassing story. And yeah, and then from then onwards, we as a team will look at your story. Trust me, we won't share the embarrassing story unless you want to share it in public. But share a funny story with us, and then we'll choose for you to come in. This is only for people that are based in Johannesburg, by the way. And also if someone who can find their way to the Cliff Central Studios, which I will not reveal just yet until we communicate with you. Mm. So there's that happening. But also, I've brought in you guys as friends here, and can you tell us what are we aiming to do when it comes to music on this show?
Yo, bro. Ernie, you take this one. How about you, bro? Yeah.
I think discovering like undiscovered talent, basically. That's the main goal. Because using the platform that we have, like a lot of other platforms don't put on the kids. So we should use our platform to do that.
And like just unheard of sounds, like discovering new sounds, man.
Can I say something? There's a 40-year-old listening to the show, and when you say the kids, he's like, I'm a kid. When you say kids, when you say put on the kids, fresh, what do you
fresh
mean?
Talent.
Yeah, the kids would just mean anyone who just hasn't had a foot in the door, you know?
Undiscovered.
Yeah. Fresh sounds. Like, the kids is just, it's a youthful term, man, but it just means undiscovered, fresh, you know, just that thing, that spark. And there's a lot of young people in this country who have it, bro. So when it comes to sonics and sound and production, like, there's some crazy, crazy talented people out there, like young people. So that's what we want to.
When it comes to music, why do you think it is that what is the South African music industry doing wrong when to young talent? You know, what is there not enough platforms? Are the platforms biased? Is it circumstantial? So if you have more money, it's easier to enter the industry. Yeah. What do you think? What are we doing wrong as a South African, you know, entertainment industry when it comes to young talent?
I think the first thing is not even like a industry thing, just like a people thing. Like you make this comment all the time about how we just live in a very personality driven like culture. So I think like we are very like a hype beast type of nation. Like we just really how can I say, inflate like really mediocre like offerings from people. Yeah. Like some of the music that's really big out there, man, I just feel like it's not a true representation of what like people are really capable of in this country. So I think the first thing is just like accepting mediocre stuff, because there's a lot of people there who are doing this music thing but not even taking it seriously. Like people that don't even produce their own beats and buying beats and then like saying they their own, like bro, have you seen those scandals, bro? Like, so we just need to take it more seriously. I feel like it's just the people that are taking it seriously are just not really being like recognized for it, and the people that have the energy to take it seriously but are just not quite up to par, and then they just get just like I don't know, bro. Yeah,
I think also for me, when it comes to music, we also live in a time where seeing good behavior is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So for example, like I see that, you know, if you're a hip hop rapper, there must be women around you.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're cool, you must be a trapper, you must be drinking lean,
and have dreads and
all these things. Yeah. Do you guys think like we could find a moral ground within hip hop? Like, could we have hip hop artists, for example, Tyler the Creator doesn't smoke or drink?
Yeah, we can,
you know,
bro.
You know, A$AP Rocky doesn't even eat meat. Like, do you get what I'm saying? There's a lot of like you think the guys that like Absol, for example, doesn't drink. Like Kendrick Lamar doesn't drink or smoke.
I think the problem is actually, that's actually a really good point you're making. Like, that's one of the problems actually with the music scene in this country, especially amongst young people, is that there's this whole craze overseas in the States, and like it's about Xanax and drugs and women and partying. That's like the music that's big out there.
Yeah,
you know, and so that's the music that the kids really listen to the most, is like guys are rapping about like taking Xanax, like the low peep just died, you know, off an overdose. But the kids listen to this and they're like, yo, like I'm gonna do it because I think it's cool. But it's really not. Like being like doing drugs and being sad and being lonely and being all these things is not cool. And I think it's just we're in a space where that sound is what sells. So that's what we're seeing, even in this country. Like, there's a lot of internet rappers.
Do you see that sort of fading? Because, like, in terms of, like, when I look at music right now, I mean, not in South African context, we know that house rules everything.
Yeah.
But I look at international, I look at guys like Daniel Caesar, I listen to Kendrick Lamar, where his hip hop is coming a bit more jazzy. You know, do you guys see a time where sort of traps sort of sinks and you see this rise in sort of jazz R&B type sound in hip hop? Like you look at Cesar, you look at Absol, you look at Daniel. Look at her. You look at him.
Bro,
you look at all these young artists. Majid Jordan, for example. Do you think that sound could become like the sound? I mean, look at Selection, which is very jazzy.
And I think that's what we're trying to do.
Do you think that sound will be the biggest sound in the world at some point?
That's our goal, basically, to like expose South Africa and Africa to a different sound that they wouldn't normally listen to.
Which is R&B, it's jazz, it's house, it's everything. I think, we will get out of that stage soon enough. I think people like Kendrick, of course, like are really like advocates for that, like just like actually having content in your music. But when it comes to youth, is that most of the time the youth will choose the most rebellious route. So trap will never die, bro.
Yeah,
it will always be there. But there is a rise of...
Who gives you a balance of that? Like, because sometimes like music can be too woke.
Yeah, sometimes like, you just need to...
So sometimes I find J. Cole to be too woke. Like J. Cole, like I can't listen to a full J. Cole album because I'm just like, yo, this is like some heavy shit. Like it's so heavy. I can listen to Kendrick Lamar where he's... your big shot, you know, like he's talking about like vibrant messaging, but then he's doing it in such a way that he's making this message very cool. You think vibrant, you're trapping, but you're not trapping.
I mean, Travis Scott actually made a really dope comment in an interview with Showtime or something, and he was saying like he feels like this lady asked him like to define his sound and who he is as an artist, and he says, I feel like hip hop is too conscious and then rock star is too dark. So he's like, I think the artists that are really dope right now are the ones that are finding the middle ground. So like you said, Kendrick can be as deep like into Puma Butterfly as it can get about black conscious, even retracing the origin of the like the word nigga, bro. Like that's crazy. So and then for him to do a song with Travis Scott where they're like, big shot, you know?
Yeah.
So I think which artists give us a balance of that? I think obviously Travis. Drake is really good.
Why do you think like people hate Drake so much? Like I know when I say people hate Drake, everyone's like, who hates Drake? But I mean, when you talk about rap and you talk about hip-hop, there's always that thing of, Drake's not really a rapper. Like, if you're talking about the God MCs, you're like, nah, it's not Drake. Drake is not a lyricist. And I feel like Drake has really revolutionized hip-hop. He's made hip-hop pop.
He's the biggest rapper to ever live.
Why would you say
the biggest rapper? I don't mean that just like in terms of his music. You don't have to be a fan of his music to agree with that, but he's like one of the people like look at Drake's numbers don't lie.
Billions
of streams,
like, tens of billions of streams, like numbers don't lie. So you can't sit there and fault Drake on just figuring it out.
I know for a fact Usbahle disagrees with you.
He probably does. Yeah, I see his manager. But you know, Drake is just one of those artists that have really like he's capitalized, like I don't know, he's such a smart guy, like he's making music that's so current. Like I think that's what he does. He just makes music that's of the time, of the now. Like they say in fashion, in trend analysis, a zeitgeist. He's a zeitgeister.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He captures the moment.
Yeah, I also feel like it's so crazy. People always ask me why I like Drake so much. And for me, it's weird because each time I listen to his albums, I'm like, this is where I'm at in my life.
Bro.
You know, when he's talking about, like, I'm cutting friends off, I'm like, dude, it's like you knew I'm cutting friends off, too. When he's talking about having a squad and having fun, you're like, this is how I feel. Like, it's almost like he's so particular to the seasons of, it's like he's growing with you and you're growing with him.
And you watch him grow and, like, it's crazy. And, dude, like, sonically, Drake, bro, the sounds, bro. Drake is dope, man. Who else? Who else would you say, Ernie?
Drake.
Just, like, artists that are...
Kendrick.
Can have that balance.
There's actually a lot. There's Skepta. Yeah. I mean, like...
I think A$AP has a good balance.
A$AP, you know, A$AP can spit, but he can give you the swag boy type of shit. There's a lot, man. There's a lot of dope guys out there.
Now, we have a cool announcement to make. Yeah. So, guys, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be announcing some DJs that are going to be doing some mixes for us on the show. As we said before, you know, led by you guys as friends, Ernest and Anga, we want to expose new music on the show. We want to grow the show and make it a movement and grow it beyond what it is now.
Yeah.
So do you want me to make the announcement who the DJ is?
You might as well. Yeah. Man, go for it, bro.
So his name is Siya Sibaga. He's from Cape Town.
Yeah, he's Kwalanga. Kwalanga, Kwalanga. 455.
So he's carrying Uskomline with him.
Yeah.
And he goes by the name of DJ Eugenics. He's going to be joining the lineup. He's going to be up on the website a bit later on. And you're going to see his bio then, his image. But basically, he's going to be bringing sounds that we don't know that are from the hood of Kwalanga. Yeah. So you're going to hear a lot of house, a lot of deep
rhythmic. And he's going to take you deep.
A lot of deep underground rhythmic sounds. And you're going to hear his stuff. You can follow him at Eugenics on Twitter as well. Yeah. And I know I've been chatting to him now on WhatsApp. He's like, when are you making the announcements, Bali? When are you telling
me? Tell him, we just made it, bro.
You know, this is what this platform is about. It's about, you know, working with people that can really appreciate the platform, who want to be exposed by the platform, who want to work with the platform, who also want to use the platform to build their brands. So we've got Eugenics, who's going to be joining us. And check out our Twitter. We're going to be running some information about him as well. Next week, Tuesday, we're going to be giving away tickets to Major League Gardens as well. So listen in on that of how you can win those tickets. And also, we're going to be announcing a new female DJ as well, who's going to be joining the lineup. And basically the lineup will be Friends, Eugenics, and as well as the female DJ we're going to announce.
This is going to be dope, this is going to be cool.
Also, in the next coming months, we're going to look at doing some threaded exchange events, some parties, we're looking to maybe invade your universities as the threaded exchange. So watch out, man. We really really excited to do some dope shit. Also, if you have suggestions on guests that you think we should have on the show, please don't be afraid to email us at thethreadexchange@gmail.com. Also, don't be afraid to tell us what you think of the show, what you think we can do better. It's about growing together, you know. It's about growing the platform. One day I won't be here. One day I'm going to move on to other things, and I want this platform to run itself. Keep growing. We're also going to be having a doctor on the show. We're going to be talking about health and sex and all those things. We're going to be talking about diet and food. So we're going to really expand the conversation beyond what we know. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. If you've just joined in, welcome to the Thread Exchange. This is my goodbye for the day, Flip. How do you guys want to say goodbye? What is your last words for the week?
Stay positive. Protect yourself. You know, it's very dangerous out there. There was actually a shooting in Randburg, so I hope everyone's safe. And we're actually dropping an EP this weekend, so people can look forward to that. And if you guys want to share music with us, share music, just tag us, whatever, new sounds, let's go.
Cool, guys. This is the Trend Exchange with Siyabile. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll check you all next week.
Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com.